Today's shiur is Masechet Ksubos Daf Ayin Beis, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, the last line of the Amud. We learned in the Mishnah Hamader Es Ishtoi that somebody makes a neder towards his wife that she's not allowed to go to the Beis HaOvel or to the Beis HaMishta. The neder, says the Mishnah, is not effective. Or it is effective, but yoytzi v'yitein ksuba. He has to divorce her. Says the Gemara Bishlam lebeis hamishta. We could understand why a neder of disallowing his wife to go to the beis hamishta is unacceptable, because ikanoyable for now he's closing off from her all social interaction, which is something obviously difficult for the wife to accept. Ela beis ha'avel, when he doesn't let her go to home mourning, my noel b'fanei ikka, what is he locking up before her? Why is this considered such a serious imposition that we should say yoytzi v'yitin suba? Answers the Gemara, Tana, the concern is that l'makor he may saw, tomorrow when she will die, en kabur yosayfta, no one will come to say a eulogy, nobody will come to say a hesped for her. Ikad Amri and Kaberi Saifna. Nobody will bury her. And as the Mefarshim explain, what's the difference between these two versions? The first version is not concerned that no one will bury her. There will always be a mace will always be buried. There are Chevra Kedishas that take care that women should be, that people who pass away should be buried. The concern only is that nobody will want to say a hesped on her because she never went and never participated in anyone else's funeral. The other pshat says, the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin actually debates, what is the purpose of a hesped? Is it yikra d'chaye or yikra d'maisi? On behalf of the living relatives or on behalf of the person who passed away? So if it's on behalf of the living, so she doesn't really care if there will be or won't be a hesped. That's why this version says that she's concerned that no one will bury her. Tanya hay Remei Omer. Remei would say, my diksev, it says in the Pasuk in Koheles, toiv lo leches abeis mishta, toiv lo leches abeis ha'ovel leches abeis mishta. It's better to go to a home of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. She bashu soif kol odom. This is the end of every person. V'chai yiten aliboy, and a person should put that on his heart. So Mefarshim asked that we learned earlier in our Masechta on Daf Yud Zayin, on an Aleph, that if there is a chosn v'kala on one side and there's a mace, a nifter on the other side, the chosn kala take precedence over the mace. And here it says toiv l'leches abeis ha'avil. So one pshat offered by the Rishonim is Beis HaMishnah that's being referred to in this pasuk is just a party, not a chosn v'kala. A chosn v'kala indeed take precedence over Beis HaOvel. Another pshat is that the Gemara over there is referring to a specific situation where we come to a fork in the road and only one can pass. So who goes first? The chosn v'kala or the ovel, the mace? But when we're not dealing with that specific situation, there we follow what this pasuk says, the Beis HaOvel takes precedence over Beis HaMishta. Another pshat is that the actual chuppah of the chosn v'kala do take precedence over a levaya. But our Gemara is not referring to the chuppah. Our Gemara is referring to the party. The Beis HaOvel takes precedence over the wedding party. Ask the Gemara, my v'chai yiten aliboy. What is pshat v'chai yiten aliboy? Says the Gemara, dvarm shalmisa. A person should think about matters of death. The sopid yispeduni. So there's two pshatim. That when he will die, he will be eulogized. The kavyit beruni, he'll be buried. The yodol yudolani, people will raise their voices and cry. The lava yolvui, he'll be escorted, and the ton yutanuni, he'll be carried. So this pshat says that when a person goes to the Beis HaOvel, it causes him to think what is the end of every man, and causes him therefore to act and think properly. Another pshat is the sopid, somebody who set hespedim on another person, yisbedunei, a hesped will be set on him. The cover, someone who was involved in burying other people, yikberuni, people will bury him. The yodel, somebody who cried for others, yiduleini, people will cry for him. The lovi, someone who escorted other niftarim, yovuni, will be escorted. The ton, and somebody who carried other niftarim, yitanuni, will be carried when his time to leave the world comes. Ask that flaw. If our Gemara is saying that the way we act when we're alive towards people who pass away is the way we will be treated when our time to leave the world comes, so why is it known that helping, taking care of a mace is known as a chesed shalemis? Why is it considered a chesed shalemis? It's a chesed shalemis, we always say, means because he doesn't expect any repayment for his chesed. He will get repayment as he acted, that's, it will be acted towards him. Says the flaw, it's still considered a chesed shalemis because the person who he did this chesed with, the nifter who he did this chesed with, will not be able to repay him. Others will repay him, but not the nifter. So the Mishnah said, "V'mhayu time mishum dava acher." But if the husband claims that he has a reason not to allow the wife to go to the base of the base of Mishnah, then Rishoni he is allowed to make such a neder. My dava acher, what is an acceptable reason? Amar Yehuda Mishmul mishum bnei adam prutzim shemitzuyin sham. Because there are people that don't act appropriately that are at the base of the base of Mishnah. However, Amar Ravashi, says Ravashi, loya morin el deschazik. It's only if it's an established fact that such people are at the base of a base of Mishnah, then the husband can prevent the wife from going there. Avaloy eschazik, if it's not established, the husband just maybe has such a concern, loy kol kiminei, then the husband cannot tell the wife, you may not go to these places. The Mishnah also said, from Amala, if the husband told the wife, Amanas shetoimri, on the condition you tell somebody, Masha Marta Li, what you told me, or Masha Marta Lcha, or repeat what I told to you, then Yaitzi v'yitin ksuba. Ask the Gemara Taima. So let her repeat. Why is this a reason for Yaitzi v'yitin ksuba? Amar Yehuda Mishmul, what's referred to here is Dvarim Shokolon. There's number pshatim. One pshat that the Rishonim is that the person, that the husband is requesting that the wife repeat to the person the derogatory statements that was said, that he said about that person, which is obviously something that is very uncomfortable for the wife to do. Another pshat Taisa says that he's demanding that the wife repeat intimate conversation that took place between the husband and wife, and again, obviously, that's something that's very difficult for a wife to do. Oy, the next case that the Mishnah says yoytzi v'yitayim v'ksuba is shetehei m'mameles u'ma'ar la'ashpa. She should fill up and pour into the garbage. So Pasha Pshat, it seems to mean that she should take out the garbage. Ask the Gemara v'tevid. So let her take out the garbage. Is this a reason for yoytzi v'yitayim k'suba? Answers the Gemara. Amr Yehuda Mishmul, what it meant is shetamela v'nefetzes, that she, it means that the husband will have relations with her, and then he's demanding that she do an act to get the seed out of her body, destroy the seed, that she should not become pregnant. Masnisatana, in the Brisa we learned shetamela sara kade mayim, what he meant to tell us, she should take a 10 pitchers of water, v'tar la'ashba, and put them into the garbage. Says the Gemara, bishlam l'shmul, according to the Shmuel, that pshat is that he's forcing her to use contraceptives. That's why we could understand b'shem hachi yoytz v'yitin ksuba, it's grounds for yoytz v'yitin ksuba. For as the Rishayim explained, even though the halacha is that woman is not obligated in the mitzvah of pru revu, but as we've learned so many times in our Masechta, a woman women do want children in order that they should be able to have children when they grow older, to help them and to bury them when they pass away. And that's enough of a reason to a woman to say, if my husband's not allowing me to have children, it's a reason for Yoetz V'yitin Ksuba. Another pshat that the Rivash says is that although a woman is not obligated in the mitzvah Pur Revu, she does have a veira of Ashchasa Zera, of destroying seed. And her husband that's forcing her or demanding that she act that way is unacceptable and Yoetz V'yitin Ksuba. However, says the Gemara L'Masnisa, according to the explanation that the Brisa gave of our Mishnah, that he told her to take out 10 pitchers of water and pour them into the garbage, my nafka l'mino tevet. So let her do it. Is this considered a reason for Yoitzi v'yitein ksuba? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Babachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'nei sheniris kishayta. She looks like a fool doing something, and her husband cannot expect or demand that his wife act in such a manner. Amar Rav Kahana, Hamadar es ishtoi, somebody who forces his wife, somebody makes a nether against his wife, shloi tishal v'loi tashal, that she should not borrow or lend. And then the Rishonim immediately ask, we could understand why a husband demanding a wife should not lend is unacceptable. Because that's, she doesn't want, as we say, have a bad reputation that she's the woman that refuses to lend items. But what's the problem with telling her not to borrow? So Rishonim explain. Typically, a woman borrows items when she needs them and lends items to neighbors who need those items. If neighbors see that this woman never borrows anything, they will assume the reason she never borrows is because she doesn't want to have to lend. And therefore, demanding that she not borrow is also unacceptable. So if her husband makes a neder that his wife, like Tisha, like Tashel, not borrow or lend, naf of a kavra, different types of sieves, rechayim, v'taner, a mill or an oven, yoyt sevit and ksuba, that's a reason to get divorced and pay ksuba, shemesiyah shem rabbi shechunasa, causes her to have a bad name. The Rishonim also pick up on the specific items that are being mentioned. Naf of a kavra, rechayim v'taner are all movable items and are items that the woman could lend to a neighbor, and the neighbor will not use in her home. But the husband does have a right, say the Rishonim, to say that the wife, even if she can lend out items, should not allow the neighbors to actually cook, bake, or do in their house. It's a lack of tznius. He could say it's a concern of kashrus. If they bring their own ingredients, it's a concern of ayin hara, if they will see what's going on in their home. Similarly, the items that are indicated are all items that will not become treif by being used by somebody who's not as careful in Hilchus Kashrus, and therefore the husband has no right to refrain the wife from lending them out. Nor are they personal items. A husband could say, I don't want you to lend your clothing. That is understandable. Says the Brayis, Tanya Nami Hochi, Hamad Sishta Shloi Tishol V'lo Shetashol, that she should not borrow or lend Naf of a Kavro, the different items, Rechayim v'taner, Yoitz v'yitin ksuba, nei shemesir ram b'shchem nesehal, because it causes her to have a bad reputation. V'kein hisha nadra, similarly, if she made a neder, shloi tisha v'loi shetashol, that she won't borrow or lend naf of a kavra, rechayim v'taner, it's also a reason, as we're going to see, for Yoitz v'yitin ksuba. Ask the Rishonim, how could a woman make a neder that she won't lend these items? They're not her items. The items belong to the husband, so she can't make a nether regarding items that she doesn't own. So Rishonim explained, the Ritva says, that here we're referring to items that she does own, items that she brought into the marriage as her nadin, and still, since this is an unacceptable mode of behavior, and therefore we will see its reason for Yoetz V'yitin Ksuba. Furthermore, if she makes a nether, v'shloi terek begodim noam lebonov, that she will not sew nice clothing for his children, and as the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yoina explained, it was very common that the wife should sew these clothing for the children, even if they were available for purchase in the store. The minig was that they should be sown by the mother, and therefore if she refuses, taloch in all these situations is teitzel shleib ksuba, she gets divorced and he doesn't have to pay ksuba, meshmesira b'shchem nasar, he causes them to causes him to have a bad reputation. Our Mishnah will now begin discussing, our Mishnah, our Gemara, will now begin discussing various situations that are considered haveres aldas moshe v'yehudis, that are grounds for divorce. And as the Rosh says, and helping us understand our Mishnah, the issues being discussed in this Mishnah are not specifically issues that the woman is not acting properly toward religiously, and that's a grounds for divorce. That is not necessarily grounds for divorce if the woman doesn't act religious. The reason that our Mishnah says that these various issues are grounds for divorce are because the issues that are mentioned in our Mishnah and Gemara are issues that make the environment of the house an unacceptable environment. Or, as the Rishonim go on to explain, there's a concern that not only is she not acting properly, but she's causing the husband to do averus. And therefore, under these circumstances, there are grounds for divorce. The Rishonim go on to discuss, is hasra required when a woman does these things? Some Rishonim suggest that hasra is not even required. This is the way a Jewish woman is supposed to act, and if she doesn't, it's grounds for divorce. However, most Rishonim suggest that, and this is where the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that hasra, she has to be warned what the repercussions of these actions are. But as the Pais can point out, it doesn't have to be that she does it many times. As long as she acts this way and is warned not to act this way, it's grounds for divorce. There's also a shaila in the Rishonim. What exactly does the hasra have to entail? Some Rishonim suggest that the hasra has to say that if you will act this way, I will have a right to divorce you and you will forfeit your ksuba. Others say that he doesn't have to mention that you'll forfeit the ksuba. It's enough that it say you're not allowed to act this way, and if you do, there's grounds for divorce. There's also a machloikus rishonim. If a wife unfortunately acted this way, does the husband have to divorce her, or is he allowed to divorce her, or should he divorce her? Many rishonim, the Rambam and the Rashba, the Rambam and the Ritva, seem to hold that he's allowed to divorce her, but he doesn't have to divorce her. The Rashba, however, quotes the Ravid, and that's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that the right thing is that he should divorce her. That is another machloikus, Rambam and Ritva. Let's say he chose not to divorce her. Then he dies, or later, after many years, he divorces her. Has she lost her ksuba because she acted this way at one point? Or do we say that since he kept her as his wife, he's obligated to give her her ksuba? Machlokes Rambam, who says that she loses the ksuba once she acted this way, Ritva disagrees and says that if he keeps her as a wife, he owes her the ksuba. So says the Mishnah. The following women, if they acted in these ways, get divorced, and the husband doesn't have to pay a ksuba. Haveris al das Moshe v'Yehuda. Somebody doesn't act like Moshe or Klai Yisrael expect the woman to act. Ezu das Moshe. What does das Moshe mean? Says the Mishnah, Machilosu Shein Moser. She gives him to eat foods that Maisa wasn't taken, and as Rishonim point out, it's not only foods from which Maisa wasn't taken out. If she gives him non-kosher food to eat, or if she tells him that, let's say, she did bedikas chametz, when indeed it's not true, she never did bedikas chametz, or she says that she made an eruv and it's not true, she did make an eruv. Misham shesay nida, she has relations with him when she's a nida. Lekoitz lachala, she doesn't remove chala from the bread that she prepares, and as the Mefarshim point out, why did the Mishnah single out for Lekoitz Lachala? So Mefarshim explained that since in Chutz Laretz the halacha is that if a woman, that challah, you could start eating the bread as long as you leave a piece at the end, So teach us that if she doesn't do that, that's also considered grounds for divorce without a ksuba. V'nederes v'enim akayemes, if she makes nedarim and she doesn't keep them. So Rishonim ask that we just learned in the previous shiur that if a woman makes a neder to be a nazira, the halacha is that the husband could divorce her, even if she fulfills the neder. Why here does the grounds for divorce only if noideres v'enim akayemes? So Taisus answers there's a difference between a neder of naziris, which is makes the woman unattractive to the husband. Therefore, even if she kept what she made the neder, the halacha is that he could divorce her. Versus our Mishnah, where the neder is not really a neder that repulses him, and the only issue is because Einam Akayemes, she doesn't fulfill the neder she made. Another teretz that the Meiri gives is in that case, she made the neder without his consent, and therefore it's grounds for divorce. And our Mishnah, he consented to her neder, but he expected her to fulfill what she made the neder, and when she's noideres, ena mekayemes, teitzei shloi b'ksuba. Ezu das Yehudas asked the Mishnah, what is das Yehudas? Yotze v'rosh ha'peruah, she goes outside with her hair uncovered, tava b'shuk, she spins, she sells in the market, medaberes m'kol odom, the Gemara will explain all these things, she speaks with every man. Avishol oimer, af ha-mekalelis yolda b'fonov, also she curses his parents in his presence. Retafronama af ha-kolonis, also a person who is a noisy person. Ezo kolonis, what is the definition of a noisy woman? L'chishim medaberes b'tayf beisa, if she speaks in our home, v'shcheineho shoyim kala, and her neighbors hear her voice. Says the Gemara, machilosoi she'enem usar. So the first example the Gemara gave of das Moshe is a person, is a woman, is a wife who serves her husband food from which Maisa has not been removed. Ask the Gemara, heichidami, exactly what is the case? Idiyodo, if he was aware that Maisa wasn't removed from the food, nifrosh, so let him take him off the Maisa himself. And if he didn't know, how will he find out that he should not divorce her and withhold the ksuba? So Taisus asks, maybe the Mishnah is referring to such a case where she didn't take off Maisa, and he knows that she didn't take off Maisa, and that's the food she wants to serve him. So Taisus says two terutzim. The first teretz Taisus says that the reason the Gemara didn't give this answer because the Gemara is focused on the wording of the Mishnah, and the wording of the Mishnah was machilosoi, not just that she wanted to serve him, but actually machilosoi, she served him. So that's why the Gemara didn't say this teretz. The Rashba, Taisus quotes the Rashba, says another teretz that in a situation where she wanted to serve him, but never he never actually ate it, she never actually served it, it's not the grounds for divorce. Because she could always say that I really would have never let you eat the food from which Maisa wasn't removed. What's the nafkamina between the two terutzim? A very big nafkamina. According to the first teretz of Taisus, if a husband knows that his wife has unacceptable food in the home, even though she actually never served it to him, it's still grounds for divorce. According to the Rashba, until she actually served it, is there, we cannot force that she should take say shalai b'ksuba. Says the Gemara Lord Tzricha, the case of our Mishnah is, d'armalei payin kayin tikin liyasakri, that this kayin was the one that came off to took the nicer from this produce. And as the Mefarshim explained, typically, the Kohanim, since they got Trumas HaMaisris, were the ones that would go from home to home and make sure that to take off the Trumas HaMaisris properly. What the Rishash says, it wasn't even necessarily a Kohen who did it. It was just, the point is, says the Rishash, that Kohanim, anybody who did this was called a Kohen. And then, Vazo Shaila, and then this husband went and asked the Kohen, my wife claimed that you removed the Trumas HaMaisris from this produce. And he says it never happened, Vishtaka Shikra, and therefore it's grounds for Taitse Shloi B'Ksuba. So Rishonim ask, why do we trust the Kayin more than we trust her? So some Rishonim indeed suggest, because of this question, that the quest the Gemara is referring to is where the wife says, on Sunday morning, this Kayan came to our home and took off the Trumas and Maestris. And there are two Edom that say, Sunday morning, this Kayan was with us elsewhere. That's why it's not just the wife's word against the Kayan's word, it's wife's word against the Edom. Other Rishonim, however, disagree, and they say, since the wife specifically pointed and said that this Kayan, this individual, is the one that took off the Trumas and Maestris, and then it turns out that she was lying, because he, the Kayan, denies it, we believe the Kayan over the wife. The next case of the Mishnah was, Umisham Shesoy Nida, where the wife had relations with him as a Nida. It's again asked the Gemara. Hechidomi, exactly what is the situation that the Gemara is referring to? E, the Yadabar, if he knows that she's a Nida, Nifraish, so let him separate himself from her. And if he doesn't know, he should be able to rely on a wife. The halacha is that we rely on our wives to say that they're not nidos. How can we know that every nida could count for herself the 7 days and then be trusted to say she's no longer a nida? And this say the Rishonim is the source for the halacha that Eid Echad Nevin Bisurin, that an individual could be trusted under these circumstances, and therefore here we could trust her to say that she's not a Nida. And in fact, Taisus questions, since the Taisus says the words V'safrala, that she should count, and interesting to point out that the Shloss says that because the Pasuk says the word V'safrala Shivas Yomim, a woman counting her 7 Nikim, the Zion Nikim, every day of the Zion Nikim, the woman should say, today is day 1, today is day 2, and so on. So, the Noid of Yehuda disagrees with the Shalom. But ask Tosfos, why is a bracha not made? Just like a bracha is made on Sfiras Omer, where the Torah says, V'sfartim lechem. Answers Tosfos, because it could happen that during the Zion Nikim, it'll turn out that she will have an emission again, and that will nullify the count, and it'll turn out that it was a brachal of Atala, and therefore she should not make a brachal on this counting. However, asked the Mefarshim, Ratvaz asks, if there's such a concern, how do we allow people to make a brachal on Sfiras Omer? There's always a concern that the person will not complete all 49 days when making a bracha. So, we shouldn't let him make a bracha in the first place. So Ratvaz answers, there's a fundamental difference between this case, the Sfiras Omer, and counting the Zayin Nikim. He says, in the case of Zayin Nikim, if a woman has an emission during the Zayin Nikim, it nullifies the entire count. We have to start from scratch all over again. On the other hand, if someone counted some days of the Sfira, and then he forgot a day, and he can no longer count with a bracha, the days that he counted with a bracha, he gets the mitzvah, and the bracha was a good bracha, and therefore, at least those days, he could count with a bracha. We find the same concept, says the Shur Mitzion of Halacha, on a fast day. The halacha is that on a fast day, by Shacharis, the Baal Tefillah says, Aneinu b'yoyim tzoyim taniseinu, by Mincha, everybody says that, and the question is, how can we allow someone to say it? Why are we not concerned that in the course of the day, the person may have to eat, and then he shouldn't have said Aneinu b'yoyim tzoyim taniseinu? So the answer is again, when the person said Aneinu, he intended to fast, and he was fasting. That is always going to remain, even if later during the day he has to break his fast. Another test that the Rishonim give to differentiate between Sfiras Omer and Sfiras Zayin Nikim is that Sfiras Omer is a mitzvah. Sfiras Zayin Nikim is only something a woman does if she wants to become tar, that she should be able to have relations with her husband, that she should be able to eat Truma and Tahara, versus Sfiras Omer is a required mitzvah. So the question is, what is the case of the Mishnah of Misham Shasamida? Says the Mara, Leitzricha de Armeli Plani Chacham Tirlius Adam. Where she says, I had a Shaila, and the specific Chacham said that the Dam, that I saw was tahor. And then also Shiloh, and then the husband went and checked up on the wife by asking the Rav, is that what you said? V'shtakach shikra, and it turns out that she said something which is not true. V'ibay same, because Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Yehuda, chokska nida b'shkenasa, if a woman was established a nida, as a nida amongst the neighbors, as we said earlier in the Masechta, the women as nidas would wear special clothing, and she was wearing this clothing, the halacha is, balal, if the husband then has relations with her, then she gets he over the Isra Nida. It's interesting to point out that the Ramah says that let's say a woman is established by her neighbors as a Nida. The husband's not allowed to have relations with her. And our Gemara just said if she has relations with her, he's Chayiv Malkus. But let's say the woman herself is saying, even though I was Huchska Nida, I'm saying and I'm telling you I'm not a Nida, she would not get a Malkus. The next case was that she doesn't separate Chala. Hechidami, idiyad, if he knows that Chala wasn't separated, Nifrosh, so let him separate it himself. Idiyad, if he doesn't know, Menayad, how will he find out? Says the Gemara, Leitzricha, similar to what we learned before, Domele, Plani, Gabel, Tikkenli, Seisop, this person took off the dough for me, Vazel, Shaila, and then the husband goes and asks the husband, this baker, this person who supposedly did it, did you indeed do it? And he says, I never did it, Shtakach Shikra. V'Nederes, V'Enim, Kayemes, the next case was that she makes Nedarim, she doesn't fulfill them. And as the Mefarshim explained, the Gemara is trying to understand that all the cases of our Mishnah are situations that he suffers because of her Aveira. So the question is, how is he going to suffer if she makes Nedarim and doesn't fulfill them? Damamar, Bavoim Nedarim, in the Avoin of Nedarim, Bona Mason, one's children die. But the Yaakov points out that the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos says that it refers to one's young children. One's adult children do not pass away because of the averus of a parent. Shnemar, the Pasuk says, Altitnas picha lachti es pesarecho, a Pasuk in Koheles, and the Pasuk continues, Loma yiksof alakim alkalecho, why shall Kadosh Baruch Hu get angry because of what you say? V'chibel es masi yodecho, and destroy your creations. What is considered a person's creations? Have and by a person uttering and saying the Dorim and not fulfilling them, he puts his children at danger. Because people make false Nedarim, he kisi rachmal tzlon es b'neichem. Tanya, hayra meya oimer. Somebody is aware regarding his wife, that she makes the Dorim and doesn't fulfill him, Yachsar via Direna. He should make a nether forbidding her. Ask the Gemara, Yadirena, he should make a nether forbidding her, but my Masakala, what's he accomplishing with this? El Yachsar via Knitena, so the Gemara, what Rameya means is that he should provoke her. Kadesh Tita Bafanov, since she's a woman that's prone to make Nedarim when she is provoked, so that's why that by him provoking her, she'll make the nether, Fiyafala, and then the husband being aware of the nether will be made for the nether. Amrla, but the Chacham disagreed with Rameya, and they said, Ein Adam Darim Nachash B'Kvifa. We can't expect a man to live with a wife who's making Nedarim and have to try all of these types of tricks to find out what is the situation. Tanya Hayy Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kala Yedei Be'ishta She'ena Koitz L'Chala, it's sometimes about weird that his wife doesn't remove Chala from the dough, as Yachsav Yafir Shechareal. He should take Chala every time he eats by himself. Omer Loi, Ein Adam Darim Nachsh B'Kifa. We can't expect a man to live with his wife in that type of situation. Says the Gemara, Man the Masn L'Ha, the one that says that a woman who doesn't take Chala, the husband can safeguard himself. Certainly in the case of Nedarim, which are not as frequent, eating we eat all the time. Nedarim aren't done all the time. Certainly we'll agree that one could safeguard himself. Maybe you could only safeguard yourself regarding Nedarim. But regarding food, zimn in the mikvah ochel, a person comes home and just takes something, grab something to eat without remembering that he has to take challah. It becomes very difficult. And in this case, everyone will agree that ein adam daram nachsh b'kfifa, and it's grounds for divorce. So the Mishnah said, Ezo das Yehudas, yoitza for Rosh Perua. Ask the Gemara, Rosh Perua, a woman going with her hair uncovered, Dairaisihi, is a woman midaraisa, is not allowed to have her hair uncovered. The Ksiv, Uparas Rosh Isha, the Pasuk says regarding a Saita, her hair should be uncovered. But Tana de Beir Shmuel, Azharal of Nais Yisrael, this Pasuk serve as an Azhara, Shlayetza Bepura Rosh. They should not go out with their hair uncovered. And Rashi says there are two ways of understanding this Pasuk. One is that what the Torah is saying is this woman, the Saita, we're going to uncover her hair, but all other married Jewish women should not have their hair uncovered. Another pshat is that she uncovered her hair to have this illicit relationship, and that's why she's going to be punished by having her hair uncovered. All other women should not have their hair uncovered. It's machlokes rishonim. Is this a full-fledged issa d'oraisa, as the Meiri says? But the Rambam seems to say that this is not really a d'oraisa. What the Gemara says, it means it's a remez d'oraisa. So, but the Gemara's question is, so going with uncovered hair is a d'oraisa. Why is our Mishnah saying it's das Yehudas? Answers the Gemara. D'oraisa, mid'oraisa, kal su shapidami. It's enough to cover her hair with a head basket, that it's like a type of basket that was worn as a headdress, and it has holes in it. Das Yehudas, I feel kal su nami osur, for das Yehudas, she has to have a total covering. And the Trumas Adeshin says, since from here we see that a basket with holes in it is considered a covering, just for a woman in public, as we're going to see, it's inadequate. From here says the Trumas Adeshin, for a man to wear a yarmulke that is not one solid piece, that has holes in it, it would be considered an acceptable head covering. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kalsa, if she's wearing a head basket, there is no issue that she's walking with her hair uncovered. Rav Zeir tried to understand this. Heicha, exactly where is the woman going dressed this way? If she says, it was saying that she's walking in the market, das Yehudas he. We just learned that she has to go with a proper head covering. Vela b'chotzer, if she's in the chotzer, im kain, and you're saying that even in the privacy of her courtyard, she has to wear at least a head basket, im kain lo yanachta bas lavron vino she yosheves tachas pala. So according to Rashi's explanation, what the Gemara means to say is, when a woman is in her private chotzer, or in a private home, she is allowed to, she doesn't have to have a head hair covered at all. The Bach and other Paiskim, and that's the way the Chassam Sofer Paskins disagrees, and he says that certainly even in a chotzer, a head covering has to be kept. Rather, what the Gemara here means, they say, is that she has a lesser hair covering is required. Amar Bai v'Tamer of Kahana is referring to a case mechotzer lechotzer v'derech mavi. In a chotzer, according to Rashi's explanation, she doesn't have to have any head covering. When she's walking from one chotzer, one of her chotzeres, to another chotzer, through a private mavui, she wears a kalsa, and in the street, she has to have a proper head covering. However, other rishonim, we say that even in the chotzer, a kalsa is required. Same, it will be the halacha, mechotzer lechotzer, derech mavui. V'tava b'shuk, the next case that we gave in the Mishnah was that she spins in the market. Amar of Yehuda Mishmul, what's the problem when she sews in the market? Says the Gemara, Amar of Yehuda Mishmul, b'marah zereh sel b'nei adam. It's referring to a situation where she is shows her arms. Her arms that are supposed to be covered are exposed when she sews. When she spins and she keeps the thread between by her private parts, and they draw attention to her. It's referring to Mesacheches in Bachrim when she speaks and flirts with young men. Once I was walking behind Rav Okva, I saw a certain Arab woman who was sitting, and she had a spindle and she was spinning, and the thread were near her private parts. When she saw us, she broke off a spindle from the thread, Shadisei, and threw it down on the road to get people to speak with her. Amrle, Ulam, Havli Plech, young men, give me back my spindle. Amr Rav Okva Milsa. That's when Rav Okva said a comment about this inappropriate behavior, which he says is which is not Das Yehudas. My Amaba, Ravina Amma, Tava Bashuk. Said this is the definition what our Mishnah meant when it said Tov Bashuk. Rabbanan Amri Medaberesim Kol Adam Abba. This is what our Mishnah meant when it said Medaberesim Kol Adam. Abba Shalomer Af Hamakaleles Yolda Befonov. Also somebody who curses his parents in his presence. Amar Yehuda Mishmul B'Mekaleles Yoldov B'Fnei Melodov. It includes a situation if someone curses his parents, someone's husband's parents before his children. So if a woman curses her in-laws in front of her children, it's considered like she cursed someone's parents in front of him, because grandparents are considered like children. And from here we see that a wife has to respect her parents, her in-laws. I'm a rabbi. Rava said to Amrale, she said to the grandson, Nechla Arya Lasaba, may a lion devour your grandfather. And she said that Ba'api Berei in front of his son. And the first we say, why do we give specifically this example? So the first we say, because Midaraisa, a klola is never considered a klola unless there's a Shem Hashem included in the klola. So by saying Aryeh, by saying a lion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was called an Aryeh, and that's why this is considered a full-fledged klola, which is prohibited under these circumstances. Rav Tafnam Afa Kalanis, also a woman who makes noise. My Kalanis, Am Rav Yehuda Mishmul, Mashmes Kala Iskei Tashmish. She speaks and tells everybody about issues of intimacy. If her husband wants to have relations with her, she rejects him and rejects him loudly, and that causes him to be embarrassed. When she has relations in one courtyard and her voice can be heard when she screams in pain to the next courtyard. Ask her, why is this not listed amongst the other mumin that are going to be mentioned in the next Mishnayis? It goes back to what we rather saw, somebody speaks in public about matters of her relations with her husband. Says the Mishnah, if somebody's Mekadosh Isha with the condition that she doesn't have Nadarim, V'nimtzol Nadarim, and then it turns out she does have Nadarim, Einim Mekudeshes. The Kedushin is not considered a valid Kedushin. Similarly, Kontrastam, if he married her without making any such stipulation, V'nimtzol Nadarim, and then it turns out that she has Nadarim, Talocha is Teitzah Shalei B'Ksuba. A get is required, but he doesn't have to pay Ksuba. Amnash Ein B'Mumin, in a case where a man made a neder that she doesn't have any mumin, v'nimtzba mumin, and then it turns out that she does have mumin, says the Mishnah, and mekadeshes. Kontrastab, but if he married her without making this stipulation, v'nimtzba mumin, and then it turns out that she does have mumin, teitzah shalei b'ksuba. So the Rishonim ask that we know that the reason a woman who's an arusa, we learned many times in our Masechta, the reason a woman who's an arusa is not allowed to eat Chazal don't let her eat truma, even though the Raisa she is entitled to truma, is because we're concerned simpoin. We're concerned that when he marries her, he'll find that she has mumin. So we see that every woman who's found to have mumin is grounds that the marriage is void. Why, as our Mishnah say, there's a difference if he made the stipulation or not? So the Rishonim answered, there's a difference what type of mumin. A woman who's found to have a major mum, certainly even if the stipulation wasn't made, the kedushin is not a valid kedushin. The difference is if it's a minor defect. So if he made this tanai, then the kedushin are not valid. And if he didn't make this tanai, then the kedushin are valid. Says the Mishnah, kala mumin apoistam kahanim, any mum that's considered a defect by kahanim, poistam benoshim is considered a defect by women. Says the Gemara, matnan kabe kedushin kai gavna. We have the exact same Mishnah masechta kedushin. So Gemara is asking, why does the Shas teach us the same Mishnah twice? Answers the Gemara, hacha ksubis etzrukalei. The main point of our Mishnah is to teach us the halacha regarding ksubis. And Tana Kedushin, our Mishnah also mentions the halacha, if the Kedushin is valid or not, or the ksubis. Hasam, over there, Kedushin etzrukalei. Masech the Kedushin, we're learning Hilchas Kedushin. So the Mishnah there comes to teach us the halacha, is the Kedushin a Kedushin? And Tana Ksubis, and we teach us the halacha regarding the ksubis, only atu Kedushin. Amr b'yachem shem shem yitzotik. Bail in the Durm, Amru. What type of nedarim are referred to in our Mishnah? Shloit tach basa, she won't eat meat. Shloit tach yain, she made another, she won't drink wine. Shloit tach kashav, a big ditzvan, she won't put on colored clothing. Tanya nami hochi, beilu nedarim amru. Which nedarim are we referring to? Dvarim she yeshbem inin nefesh. Shloit tach basa, shloit tach yain, v'lash tach kashav, a big ditzvan. Havi bera papa, ahai. Regarding which clause of our Mishnah was this statement made? Was it made regarding the Reisha, in which the husband made a specific stipulation that she should not have Nadarim? And there, it turns out that she had Nadarim. So then, the question is, what's the difference? Kivin the kakapit. If the husband doesn't want she should have Nadarim, afilu kamili. Namita, any neder should be a reason. He said, I don't want a wife with Nadarim. And if it turns out that she has any type of nether, the Kedushin should be void. El, it's going on the Sefer. Well, he did not make this specific stipulation. And that's where the Mishnah teaches us that if she has one of these types of Nadarim, Taitse Shlebek Suba. Ravashi Amaloylam is going on Reisha. It is going on the Reisha. Or maybe the Kabdabai Inche, on something that people are particular about, have a kapeda. So that's when, if he made a stipulation and it turns out that his stipulation wasn't met, that's why we could say it's grounds that the kedushin is void. However, even though he made a stipulation, she shouldn't have nedarim. But she does have a neder, but it's a neder that's meted to like kaptabay inchi. It's a neder that people aren't that particular about. Lo have a kapeda. It's not considered a valid reason to void the marriage.